Today's shiur is Masechta Pesachim, Daf Kuf Tes. We're going to begin on Daf Kuf Ches Amid Beis, the last words of four lines from the bottom. Tan Rabbanan. We learned in a Braisa. Hakel Chayovim Ba'arba Kaisas Halalu. Everyone is obligated to drink the Dal Kaisas. Echad Anoshim Vechad Noshim Vechad Tinaikas. Men, women, and children. Ramosha and a tshuva makes an interesting observation. He says, yesterday in Daf Kuf Ches, we also discussed the obligation of women to drink the Dal Kaisas. And we had Rabbi Shuv ben Levi teaching us that women are mechuyev in Arba Kaisas, sh'af hein hayu bayis ha'nes. They were also in the Nes of Pesach. So Ramosha points out, what's the difference between what this Bryce is saying and what Rabbi Shuv ben Levi is saying? So he explains. According to Rabbi Shuv ben Levi, women's obligation in Dal Kaisas is because Afhen Hayibai Sanes. And as Tosfos explained, Afhen Hayibai Sanes can accomplish that a mitzvah, which is a mitzvah derabbanan, such as Dal Kaisas, even if it's a mitzvah asay shazman groma, women will be mechuyevin. A mitzvah d'oraisa, however, even if it was a mitzvah, even if it was a situation in which women were included in the neis, af hein hayu b'yisa neis, women will not be obligated. Tosfos gave an example. Sukkah is a d'oraisa, so even though women af hein hayu b'yisa neis are not mechuyev in sukkah, says Ramosha, that according to that line of reasoning, saying the Haggadah, mitzvahs sipu yitzis mitzrayim, which is a chiv deraisa, Pesach by night, women will not be mechuyevin, according to Rabbi Shuv ben Levi. And therefore, if there will be a situation where a man is unable to say the Haggadah, a woman cannot be mitzi him. However, says Ramosha, according to the braisa that we just learned now, this braisa doesn't mention reasoning of af hein hayibai sanes. This braisa, says Ramosha, holds that in all of the mitzvahs of Pesach by night, women are mechuyev. Because since we find that women are mechuyev midoraisa tit matzah, as we learned, kol sheyeshna b'al toicha chametz, whoever is prohibited from eating chametz, yeshna b'kum achol matzah, is obligated to eat matzah. What the Bryce is teaching us is that when it comes to Pesach by night, men and women are all mechuyev in all mitzvahs. So if women are mechuyev in all mitzvahs, they'll also be mechuyev in the mitzvah of Sipu Yitzis Mitzrayim. And therefore, a woman would be able, according to this Bryce, to be might see a man, which is the way the Shulchan Aruch passes. So the Bryce said, men, women, and children are mechuyev to drink the Dal Kaisas. Amr Yehuda, says Rabbi Yehuda, v'chimata elis yesh l'tiyokis b'yayin. What kind of benefit do children have from wine? So the machlokes rishonim, what kind of ketanim are we discussing in this braisa? The Rashbam seems to learn they were talking about children that even shlohigiyu l'chinuch have not even come to the age that they have to be trained in mitzvahs. However, since, as the Rashbam says, everybody was saved by Yetzias Mitzrayim, including these small children, therefore they must drink the four cups of wine. And Rabbi Yehuda challenges the Tanna Kamma, v'chimat ha'elus, such small children have no benefit from drinking wine, they have no chiyuv chinuch. Duran, however, learns that of course children shelo higiyu l'chinuch that are so young that are not of age are not mechuyev to drink the Dal Kaisas. The Tanakam is saying that children shehigiyu l'chinuch, children that are of age, should be trained in the din of drinking Dal Kaisas. To which Rabbi Yehuda challenges, the point of drinking the Dal Kaisas is to come to understand, to cheres, to recognize our freedom from Mitzrayim, which even a child, Shegiyu L'chinuch, won't appreciate that through wine, and therefore there is no point in him drinking it. Ella, says Rabbi Yehuda, mechalkin lahem, we distribute to them, kloyos is parched grain, for goyzim and nuts, bera Pesach, Pesach by night. Rishonim say that here, even though the Braisa uses the terminology for Erev Pesach, it doesn't mean Erev Pesach, it means Pesach in the evening. And as the Mefarshim explain, either Pshat in Rabbi Yehuda giving them these nuts and grain is that they should normally get candies at the end of the meal, and here we're giving them candy at the beginning of the meal, which will get them to try to understand. We usually get candies at the end of the meal. Something's going on here, and they'll therefore ask questions, or that by giving them candies, they'll remain awake, eating and playing with their candies and nuts, and therefore they will remain awake during the Seder and will hear and learn about Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. The Rishonim point out that the grain that they used to give, they had to be careful, was not yet of the new grain, because since the Seder took place Pesach by night, and Pesach by night the Chodosh is not yet Mutter, they waited for the next day until they were able to get the new grain, and gave old grain for the children by night. Chakmam Klois by Goyz Mer Pesach Deshi Lo Yishanu, they shouldn't sleep, Yishalu, and they'll ask questions. Amro of Rabbi Kiva, they said regarding Rabbi Kiva, Shemichal Klois by Goyz Mer Tznoikos by Pesach, used to distribute to the children grain, nuts, on Pesach evening, Kadesh Lo Yishanu, Yishalu, they shouldn't sleep, and they'll ask questions. Tanya teaches us a braisa, Rabbi Leza Oimer, Choytfin Matzis, we snatch Matzis, Beshvil Tznoikos Shlo Yishanu, in order that the children should not sleep. So there are many pshatim in this choytfin matzis. What does it mean? Rashi says that they used to pick up the korah, and the children will ask, why are we picking up the korah? And they'll ask, and we'll explain to them, Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Rashi says another pshat, that we eat the seder, we perform the Seder quickly in order that the children should remain up to when we get to the part of Pesach Matzah Umorah, which is a crucial element and a crucial part of the Seder, and we want them to be up to understand it. The Pesachim also point out that there is another reason to conduct the Seder quickly, because from the first cup of wine which is drunk, the Kiddush, until the meal is quite a while. And we learned already many times in this parak, there's a concept of Kiddush b'makom Suda. So we want to try to make the Suda at least within 72 minutes of the Kiddush. Moreover, since the Bari Pri Adama that we make on the Karpas is supposed to also be for the Maror, again, it has to be within the Shir equal, within the 72 minutes of eating the Karpas, we should have the Maror. Another pshat in Chaitin is that they used to not let the children eat that much. They should not eat their full, because once they'll eat up everything they need to eat, they may go to sleep. And we don't want them to go to sleep, we want them to remain up for the Seder. Another pshat, which we're all familiar with, is that they used to snatch. Chaitin means to snatch. They used to snatch the matzahs one from the other. Either the children used to snatch the matzahs away, or it used to be a game that the adults used to snatch matzah one from the other. So in order that they should be fun, and children should remain up for the whole Seder and learn about Yetzias Mitzrayim. And this is, as we know, the basis for the minig that children steal the afikoimim. In fact, there's a vart from Reb Shimon Seifer. He was once asked, what is the basis for the minig of stealing the afikoimen? So he said that the pasuk says, regarding the night of Yetzias Mitzrayim, L'chol b'nei Yisrael lo yechretz kelef es l'shoinai, that dogs did not bark on the night of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Now the Gemara says, that Gemara Daf Kuf Yud Gimel, we're going to learn soon, says that a person should always live in a city that has dogs, because dogs are the best prevention against ganovim, against thieves. Because if they see a thief, they start to bark. Since, says Rav Shimon Sofer, on the night of Pesach, the dogs weren't barking, so the ganovim, the thieves, had no problem doing their thievery. That's why we have the minig of stealing the afikoman and Pesach by night. And as we know, that's a minig, although there are places that did not have the minig of stealing afikoman. They felt that from a educational point, it was inappropriate that people should teach their children any form of geneva. But the minig by most of Klal Yisrael is that they did steal the afikoman, hide the afikoman. But there's an interesting vort from Chaim Brisker. He explains that the minig of hiding the afikoman is not based on this Gemara at all, but rather it's based on something else. He says, as we've learned, kachim, karbonos, have to be protected that they should not become tamei. The Karban Pesach was brought Erev Pesach in the afternoon. It was eaten much later at night. So the minig was, the custom was, that they used to hide the Karban Pesach in a safe place, that it shouldn't chas v'shalom become tameh. The afikoman, which is zecha to Karban Pesach, which is eaten to commemorate the Karban Pesach, they had the same minig. They used to hide it in commemoration of what they did with the Karban Pesach. He says, so now by us letting the children take it and hide it, and us not even knowing where it is, so to speak, so it's the antithesis, it's just the opposite of shmirah, of it being watched, and that's not what the minig was. So he says that the minig of choytvin was, they used to grab the matzah, and even though normally the halacha is that when somebody makes a bracha, hamotzi, the person making the bracha is supposed to eat first. He says choytvin matzah means that here we allow the people, the children, to eat even before the mevarech eats, so that they should see that something is different and ask question. But in terms of hiding the matzah, just the opposite, it should not be hidden by children, because that's not the point. It's just the opposite of the point indeed. It continues the Gemara. Tanya. Amar lav Rav Akiva, they said regarding Rav Akiva, he never said it's time to leave the Beis Medrash, chutz mi avri psoch v'erev Yom Kippur, except on Erev Pesach and Erev Yom Kippur. Erev Pesach b'shvil tonoikish k'deish lo yishnu, in order that the children should sleep. V'erev Yom Kippur k'deish yechilos b'neim, on Erev Yom Kippur, in order that they should be able to go home and feed the children that will have to fast. They should eat on Erev Yom Kippur, that they should be able to fast on Yom Kippur. There's machloikis Rashbam and Tosfos how to understand this Gemara. The Rashbam says Rabbi Kiva used to go home Erev Pesach in the afternoon to make sure that all the children took a nap in order that they should be able to be up Pesach by night by the Seder. Taisha says, for that we don't need Rabbi Kiva himself to go to put the children to sleep. And therefore he says that chutz mi avri psochem, he means, like we learned before, Pesach at night, after davening. That even though normally Rabbi Kiva, and people like Rabbi Kiva, remained in shul after davening and still learned, Pesach by night, they did not remain in shul after davening. Rather, they immediately went home to conduct the Seder before the children would fall asleep, so that they should remain up for the Seder. The Mefarshim explain, when the Gemara says here that Rabbi Kiva Omer Higia Es Lamoid, he never stood up. So they explain that there's a medrash. The medrash says Hakavei Itam Taira. If somebody makes time to learn, Meifa Taira. That's called Bitl Taira. That's called not learning, which is a very difficult medrash. Kavei Itam. He's designating a time to learn. So pshat they explain is, if somebody's kavei itim l'tayri, he says, I learn an hour a day. Every day I learn that hour, but I never learn more. And even in a day that he has more time to learn, He learned his hour. He doesn't learn more. Teaches us that's hakavei itim l'tayra. He only has a designated time to learn. Never more meifa tayra. That's bittul tayra. You're supposed to learn whenever you can. Rav Akiva said leigi eslamet. He never said there's a certain amount of time to learn. The seder is 2 hours, 3 hours, whatever it is, and then I'm finished. He never took that attitude to learning. Tana Rabban teaches us the brisa. Chayev Adam. A person has the obligation to make his family happy on Yontif. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, v'samachta b'chagecha. You have to be happy, you have to rejoice in Yontif. B'mam b'samcham. How does one accomplish this? B'yayin, with wine. Rabbi Yehuda says, anashim b'roy lehem. Men receive what makes them happy. Noshim b'royal lahem, and women what makes them happy. Noshim royal lahem, men what makes them happy is b'yayin, wine. For as the Avni Nezer explains, the main point of simcha is not that a person dances or jumps; it's that he should be happy b'pnimius. His neshama should be happy, and wine does that. And moreover, wine, the simcha, wine affects the pnimius, and the simcha is supposed to be in the pnimius. So that's why he's supposed to drink wine. For noshim amai, and how do we make women happy? Tanar of Yosef, above all, we gave them big day tzavonim, colored garments. But it's Israel, but big day pishtim ugatzim, and it's Israel, they gave them pressed linen garments. And Taisva says, in Bavel, they didn't give them these pressed linen garments, because as the Gemara says, in Masechta Tainis, we in Bavel, we in Chutz La'aretz, aren't really experts in knowing how to do this pressing. The Ben Ish Chai points out, why does the Gemara first speak about the Yom Tovim in Bavel versus the Yom Tovim in Eretz Yisrael? We should have mentioned Eretz Yisrael first. So he says, because the Pasuk says, Vishbati kom soisa chaga chadosha v'shabata, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu cursed Eretz Yisrael that it will not anymore have the simcha of Yontif. But that curse did not affect Chutz La'aretz. So that's why the simcha in Yontif, in Chutz La'aretz, is greater than the simcha in Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, Rabbi Yosef mentioned Chutz La'aretz Bavel first. Another pshat is that that's where he lived. Another pshat is that Yontif in Chutz La'aretz is longer than Yontif in Eretz Yisrael. We know that in Chutz La'aretz we have Yontif Sheni Shagolius, which we don't have in Eretz Yisrael. Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira Oima. When the Beis Hamikdash was standing, ain't simcha el b'basar. They were makayim simcha only with eating meat. Shenemar v'zvachto shlomim v'chalto sham v'smachto fnei Hashem l'kecha. They brought carbon shlomim and ate it. And achshav she'ain Beis Hamikdash kayim. Now that the Beis Hamikdash is no longer standing, ain't simcha el b'yayin. The simcha is only with wine. Shenemar v'yayin yisamach levav enosh. Wine is what gladdens the heart. So the Mefarshim explain, Rav Chaim Brisk explains, that although we're learning now that Bizman Shebeis HaMidosh HaYakayim, the Simcha was with Basar Shlomim, we're bringing the Kabbonis, that does not mean to say, says Rav Chaim, that was the only way they were Mekayim Simchas Yontov when the Beis HaMidosh stood. Rather, says Rav Chaim, there were two types of Simcha. There was a Chi of Simcha with eating meat of the carbon, and then there was a simchas yontif, every person with the way he rejoices, men with wine, women with whatever makes them happy. So although, says Reb Chaim, the first type of simcha, the simcha of eating kabbonis, no longer exists, but the other simcha, the simcha of any person having simcha in the way he is the simcha, still exists. And actually, it's the only way to be Mekayim Simcha. And in fact, Rabbi Yashiv says in a tshuva that there's a chiyuv to drink wine every day of Yontif, a revius of wine every day of Yontif, even during Chol HaMoed. Because that's the way the Gemara says, we're Mekayim Simcha nowadays, so we have to drink every day of Chol HaMoed wine. And in fact, this is one of the proofs that the wine, the beverage that should be used for dalakaisus should be alcoholic. Because as we learned in the previous year, one of the goals accomplished with drinking the dalet kaisis is that the person's mekayim simchas yontif. And simchas yontif was saying now you have to have yayin that makes you happy, and therefore the dalet kaisis should be an alcoholic beverage. The Shagas Aryeh discusses if the chiv of simchas yontif bizmanenu is midoraisa or midrabonin. He indicates that it's actually a machloikis rishonim, with the Rambam holding that the chiyuv simchas yontif bizmanenu is midoraisa, and Tosfos holding it's midrabonon. And he continues to say that even the Rambam would agree that the chiyuv simcha on the first night of yontif is not midoraisa, but the Magen Avraham holds that the chiyuv simcha even the first night of yontif is midoraisa. The Mefarshim also point out that the Rambam says, when he discusses the chiyuv of Simchas Yontif, says mitzvah la'odom l'sameach es bonov u'bnei beis v'regel. A person has to make his whole family b'simcha yontif. So the Sefer Torah Rafal points out that the Rambam is not saying that every person has an obligation to be b'simcha b'yontif. Rather, what the Rambam is saying is that it's the obligation of a person to make everybody in his household, everybody in his family, have Simchas Yontif. Then he will have Simchas Yontif. The Simchas Yontif for a person is that when he makes everybody in his family besimcha, and then he's Mekayim Simcha. And moreover, the Rambam says that in order to properly fulfill the mitzvah, not only does he have to make himself happy and his family is happy, but he also has to invite orphans and widows and other needy people, because that all is the way a person accomplishes that he should be Mekayim Simchas Yontif. There's a word that the Pasuk says, V'samachta b'chagecha v'hayiso ach sameach. So the Mefarshim want to understand what is the Lashon Ach Sameach. Ach, we know, is a miyut. It's coming to lessen. What does it mean? So the Mefarshim explained, sometimes, unfortunately, a person could be in a situation that he's Ach, he's all alone. And he would think that that person can't be Mekayim Simcha. So teaches us the Pasuk, V'samachta b'chagecha. A person has to be B'simcha Yontif. And even if Rachman Lutzlan, he's in a situation of Ach, that he's all alone, he never doesn't have family, V'yisa Ach, even if you're Ach, Sameach, happy you still have to be. But I saw an interesting psak from Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein. He says that the chiv of Simcha Yontif is not just is accomplished by doing something positive. He says, for example, if one's wife owed money, and the way he wanted to help her accomplish Simchas Yontif would be by paying off her debts, he says that would not be accomplishing Simchas Yontif. Simchas Yontif, he says, has to be a positive act, a positive of giving her something, clothing, jewelry. Accomplishing Simchas Yontif by just paying off a debt would not be the way to be Mekayim the mitzvah. We learned a number of times in our perek that the shear of the cup that should be used for dalakaisis is a revius. So the Gemara begins to discuss how do we measure this cup. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Kasta de Maraisa, there was a measuring cup that was called Kaista, that was used to measure fish fat, the half of its Sipari that was in Sipari, who have a Kamin Loig of the Migdisha. It's the same size as the Loig that was used in the Beis HaMigdash. Oba Misharin Reviyah Shal Pesach. And through it, we can measure the size of Reviyah on Pesach, because Reviyah is a quarter of a Loig. So we take the amount of beverage, amount of liquid that this cup can hold, this measuring cup can hold, and we divide it by four. That's the amount that should be used for a revius by the Seder. Amrav Yochanan, Tamnaisa Kadmaisa, the Avatarya, there was a measuring cup called Tamnaisa. It was originally one size, and then it was reduced. Tamnaisa Kadmaisa, the Havba Tferia, the original Tamnaisa cup that was used in Tferia, Havi Yaseris Aldor, is larger than the new Tamnaisa cup by river, by a revius. Uba, so we can measure through it, Misharin Vish of Pesach. If we take the amount of liquid that goes into the original Tamnaisa cup, and then we take the amount of liquid that goes into the new Tamnaisa cup, and we measure the difference, that difference is a revius. But explains the Gemara, these methods of measuring how much a revius is were all applicable or all doable when we had these measuring cups. But now that we unfortunately no longer have these measuring cups, so how can we measure what is the revius? Omrav Chizda, revius of Torah, the amount of place, the amount in a cup that a revius takes up is at spayim al at spayim v'chatzi etzba v'chaymish etzba. The amount of liquid that goes into a cup, which is the size of 2 etzba by 2 etzba by 2.7 etzba high, that will be the amount of liquid which is a revius. Says the Gemara, how do we get to this calculation? Kritanya, as we learned in a brisa, the pasuk says, "V'rochat b'mayim is kol basari." Here, the Torah discusses when a person has to go to the mikveh, he has to wash, he has to immerse in the mikveh. Says the brisa, the first thing we learn from this pasuk is, "Shloidaver chaitzitz bein basari l'mayim." There's not allowed to be any mechatzitza. There's not allowed to be any interruption, any extraneous matter between the person's body and the mikveh. B'mayim, furthermore, teaches us the brisa, b'mayim b'mayim mikveh. It has to be gathered water by natural means. Water that was drawn, meshuvim, and then poured into mikveh would not be a kosher mikveh. Also, water that's flowing would not be a kosher mikveh. As kol basaroi, mayim shekol gufa el behem. The minimum size of a mikveh is the size that the person's entire body could immerse in it at one time. The kamehim, how much water is that? Says the brisa, al ama, it's an ama by an ama, brum shamus by the height of 3 amas. Because as the Rishonim explained, the average person with his arms loose at his sides is 1 ama. His height is 3 amas. So, given that the person wants to go into, so to speak, into a utensil that is holding water, so if he will go into a utensil that's 1 amma wide, 1 by 1, with a height of 3, he will be able to enter entirely, because even if the mikveh water and his height are exactly the same, but once he goes in, he displaces water, and the water will go above his head. The Mefarshim discuss, what about the thickness of the person? And they say that the person's thickness is also an amma, and that's why we have the 1 by 1 amma. Says the Gemara, v'shiru chachamim, so Chazal said, how much water goes into a box, which is the size of 1 amma by 1 amma? May mikveh abam saw. 40 saw of water go into such a box. Now what we're going to do is extrapolate by knowing that in an area of 1 amma by 1 amma by 3 ammas, you could have 40 saw, then we will be able to derive that one revius will take up a box which is the size of 2 etzba by 2 etzba by 2.7 etzba. And the way we could calculate this is as follows. An amma is 6 tefachim. A tefach is 4 etzba. So every amma has 24 etzba. A saw has in it 6 kabin. A kav has in it 4 leugen. And a loig, as we said earlier, has in it 4 revius. So every saw has 96 revius. 6 times 4 by 4. And therefore, 40 saw will have 3,840 revias, because it's 40 times 96. So if we take an area of 1 by 1 by 3 amas, which we said can hold 40 saw, which another way of saying that is that's an area of 24 by 24 by 72 etzpas, because we said every etzpa has 24, every amma has 24 etzpa. So 24 by 24 by 72 etzpa has 3,840 revias. If we look at the area of a box which has 24 by 24 by 72 etzpa, the area, if we multiply 24 by 24 by 72, is 41,472. So 4,472 etzpa have in it 3,840 revias. So if we divide 40, so each revias will be 41,472 etzpa divided by 3,840, which means that each one will be 10.8 etzpa. Each revias takes up 10.8 etzpa. 2 etzpa by 2 etzpa by 2.7 etzpa will equal 10.8 etzpa, which will equal 1 revias. Rav Ashi, Amali Ravin Bechinina. Rav Ashi says that Ravin Bechinina told me, Shulchan Shal Migdash. In the base of Migdash, we know there was a Shulchan. And at times, the Shulchan could get Tamei. Or, as some Mepharshim explain, every Yontif, the Gemara Masechta Chagiga says, that every Yontif, when Klal Yisrael came up to Eretz Yisrael, everybody had to be oil and regal, all of the utensils that were used in the Beis HaMikdash were brought out for everyone to see. And people were obviously not all tahor, so they used to touch and make the Shulchan Tamei. And now they had to make it tahor by putting it into a mikveh. And as the Or Chodosh explains, there was a unique problem in making it tahor, because whereas all of the kalim that were used in the Beis HaMikdash were not necessarily in use all the time, so they could be taken to the mikveh to become tahor, the Shulchan had on it the Lechem HaPanim all week, and you couldn't put it into the mikveh when it has the Lechem HaPanim on it. The only time during the week when there was a gap, when there was no Lechem HaPanim, was on Shabbos. But on Shabbos, the halacha is that you're not allowed to immerse something in the mikveh, because it's tikkun mana. It's fixing something. So the only option they had was to have a mikveh in the Azara, in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Mishkan compound, in the Beis HaMikdash compound. Since the halacha is Ein Shvus B'Mikdash, there are no Isurei Derban in the Beis HaMikdash, immersing something in a mikveh is an Issur Derabanan, so they were able to immerse it on Shabbos in the Azara. However, real estate in the Mishkan compound was very limited and very valuable. So obviously, the mikveh they had was the minimum size mikveh, which we just said that the minimum size mikveh is 1 amma by 1 amma by 3 amma. However, as the Gemara will now explain, the Shulchan could not fit in to such a small mikveh, because the dimensions of the Shulchan were 2 amas in its length, 1 amma in its width, and 1.5 amma in its height. So as Tosfos explains, certainly the legs had to be removed, because there's no way that you could put this in any way with the legs attached. But even explains Tosfos that the take off the leg, since the top of the Shulchan was 2 amas in the length and 1 amma in the width, there's no way that Shulchan could be put into the mikveh, which was also 1 amma wide, because as the Gemara will tell us, 1 amma something which is wide in Amma cannot fit into something which is an Amma. It has to have a slightly larger place. Therefore, the Gemara is going to teach us Shulchan Shel Migdash, the Shulchan that was used in the base of Migdash, Prakim Hava, was made out of detachable parts, so it could, the tabletop, so to speak, of the Shulchan could be separated into two parts. This Alkadat Chaduka Hava Mahadik, if we're going to say it's all one piece, Amsa BeAmsa Hechematpale, how could you put a tabletop which is an Amma wide into Mikvah which is exactly an Amma wide? So the Rishonim ask that although the mikveh was an amma by an amma, we know that the diagonal of something is larger than its actual size. So if the mikveh was an amma by an amma, the diagonal was 1 by 4 ammas. So then we could put the whole top of the shulchan into the mikveh on a diagonal. So they answer that since we also have the thickness of the tabletop, and there was a rim on the shulchan, there was a crown on the shulchan, therefore even if you tried to put the shulchan in on a diagonal, it could not fit in. And now we have a problem: how could we put the shulchan into a mikveh? Ask the Gemara, my kusha, what's the problem? Dilma b'yam she'osu shloima have a matbalei. Perhaps the shulchan was put into one of the pools that Shloima Melech made by the Beis HaMikdash. The Tanya Rav Chiya says, Yam she'osu Shloima, the pools that Shloima Melech made, machzik meyeh v'chamisha mikveh taira, could hold 150 mikveh. Because as the Pasuk said, the Shloima Melech's pool held 2,000 bas. A bas equals 3 saw. That means the pool of Shloima Melech contained 6,000 saw. 2,000 by times 3. As we just learned, a mikveh holds 40 saw. 40 times 150 is 6,000. That's how we know that the pool at Shlomo Melech was so large that it could hold 40 mikvahs. And it certainly could hold the size of shulchan if it had to be immersed. Tosfos here points out, discusses the halachas of Arba Kaisis, and Tosfos says that even yayin mevushal, wine which was cooked, or maybe what we would call wine which was pasteurized, can be used for the dal kaisis, and one can make a bari pri agofen. It's not considered that it loses the status of wine. The Rambam disagrees. The Rambam says that yayin mevushal is unacceptable. It's interesting to note that the Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Shabbos brings down first that you can use Yayin Mevushal, and then he brings down another day that you shouldn't bring down Yayin Mevushal. And in Hilchos Pesach also, he indicates, like Tosfos, that Yayin Mevushal can be used, as Tosfos says, for Dal Kaisis. But as we just said, the Rambam says that Yayin Mevushal should not be used for Dal Kaisis.